Welcome to episode number 36 of the Truth and Dare podcast. Today, we are joined by conscious pop artist Renee. Renee's infectious pop melodies, soothing vocals, cutting-edge productions, and mindful messages are all elements of her music that make her absolutely one of a kind. Renee is truly a pioneer in a new genre, which she calls spiritual pop or conscious pop, music that inspires inner and outer harmony in the world. In French, Renee means reborn, and through her unique music, Renee creates an experience of storytelling, self-discovery, and celebration. Her debut album, Align, which came out this year, is centered on the metaphors of each chakra and inspires individuals to connect with their souls as a way to live their most authentic and conscious lives. Renee's music is not solely about Renee, but about everyone who takes the time to listen. Her inspiring message is about healing together, growing together, and helping others become reborn into the best version of themselves. This is such an honest, opening, and genuine conversation. We chat with Renee about her background as a songwriter for famous pop stars, her own spiritual journey, the healing power of music, and the mission of her art. Also, we tap into how her music can help us align with our true nature and so much more. Honestly, this conversation is so soothing and we are really excited to share it with you. But before we get started, we want to highlight our review of the week. This week's review of the week comes from Kate's with a Z. She says, vulnerable and relatable. This podcast is so vulnerable and really feels like a conversation with good friends. It's more than just another wellness podcast. They have conversations with amazing women who are making a difference on a small and a large level. I especially love the Slug and the Honey segment. It makes you remember that we cannot be perfect or close to it, and that's okay. Also, it's strange. We usually have the same ones. Keep it up. Can't wait for the retreat. We can't wait either, Kate's. Thank you so much for sharing. As always, you know what to do if you want to be the review of the week. And hey, just so you know, we've reached 100 reviews on iTunes. That is so cool for us and this podcast community that keeps growing. Now we would love to reach the next 100 and we're going to need your help to get there. As always, if you feel inclined and this podcast speaks to you, please head over to iTunes, drop us a comment. You can write whatever you want. Seriously, anything goes. Be creative and maybe we'll feature you as the review of the week next week. Remember, you can find all of the show notes, blog posts, information about Renee, and anything else you need over at truthanddaremovement.com. Now let's get aligned with Renee. Welcome to Truth and Dare, a podcast dedicated to female empowerment through living our truth and daring to change. Hi, I'm Carly Talbot.
And I'm Allie Van Fossen.
Okay, Tad Tribe, we are back for another conscious conversation. And of course, we are kicking it off with our Slug in the Honey. So Allie here, and my Slug in the Honey is I just returned from Kripalu, which is a yoga and wellness center up in Massachusetts. And I went for what I thought was a chakra yoga workshop. And for some reason, I blacked out the word therapy in the description, and the workshop had almost nothing to do with yoga. And instead, I experienced the most incredible, transformative, vulnerable therapy session of my life. And it was totally unexpected, but somehow everything I needed. So my Slug in the Honey is just trying to piece all of that together. It was a lot of information that I was completely unaware of. And trying to figure out how I can take the learnings and let them sink into me as a yoga student and me as a yoga teacher. So I would say my Slug in the Honey is a positive one this week. Renee, what is your slug right now?
Hello. My slug this week, I think. I've noticed I've spent a little too much time opening my phone and scrolling, looking at Instagram, looking at Facebook. We all get caught up in this little pattern sometimes. And I think just being aware of it right now is a positive thing, to just kind of put it to the side for a second. I think when you get in that mode, you get a little bit like you're seeing what everyone's doing, and like a little bit like, oh my God, I wish I was doing that. Or I wish I was that. And it doesn't feel that great. So I'm glad we're doing Slug in the Honey now. So I am going to just put it down for a little bit for the next few days.
That's a good one. I can't even count the amount of times that I've said that exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's such a vicious cycle. So being aware of it. Yeah. Being aware of it is huge.
Right.
Okay. I will share. My current slug is that I am drinking an entire head of juiced celery every morning, right when I wake up, because it's supposed to help with skin breakouts and digestion issues, which is something that I've been struggling with, as any of our listeners know. And what's crazy is that it actually is incredibly effective. But just, you know, for the record, for anybody who wants to juice celery every morning, it doesn't taste good. It's like salty, and I've been putting a lemon in it to try to cut it. And I like green juice, but that usually is like an apple, ginger, you know, concoction. And this is just straight up celery. So I guess the slug is, and it's just like, actually, juicers are a lot of work. You don't think about that all the time. I know this is a first world problem, but you know, just keeping it real. So that's what I'm going through. As always, ladies, thank you for sharing, and we should get this thing going. Renee, we're super happy that you are here with us, having a conversation with us.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah.
I love this podcast.
Oh.
Yes, girlfriend. We love it too. Thank you so much for listening in and coming on here and sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. So let's get this going. It seems like, from what I've read about you and everything I've looked at, your accolades, that you have had a pretty impressive music writing career. And which is really great at your young age. Really cool. And it seems as though this project Align, which we're going to get you to talk about, definitely seems to be the culmination of your journey thus far. So if you could just briefly walk us through your history in the music business and how you got here now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that intro. I guess I started working, well, I've been doing music my whole life. I grew up in Ohio. My mom's a music teacher. I was just drawn to music from an early age. And then I eventually moved to California when I was like 18 or 19, went to USC, studied music industry there. And pretty quickly after going there, I started working in the industry, and pretty much full time. I worked at labels, kind of behind the scenes on the business sides, labels, assistant work, publishing companies. And then after a few years of kind of learning how all of that worked, I transitioned into the creative side of the business, and I became a songwriter with Universal Music, and just kind of spending a couple of years writing songs with artists, for TV and film, movie trailers, just all sorts of things, just whatever comes up. And so I did that for a couple of years. And then this is really fast through my whole life, but about 2 years ago is when I kind of had this kind of big something inside me to make something else, to make my own artist project. And that's where Align and this whole brand and thing has come from. And that's kind of the new chapter I'm focusing on right now. Does that answer your question?
It definitely answers our question.
To, like, summarize your whole life in a couple
minutes. Yeah, we agree. So before we go any further, I just want to stop real quick at that period when you were a songwriter and working side by side with music artists. Was that overwhelming? Were there times where you were like major fangirl moment, like, oh my God, and with all these big people, you know, was it what you expected it to be behind the scenes of the music industry? Mm-hmm. I'm just interested for my own personal.
Yeah, interest. I know. It's kind of like a unique career. People don't really know what goes on behind the scenes, I guess. Like everything you just said, a lot of fangirl moments, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of, it was a very like roller coaster kind of time for me. And I got to work with some of my favorite artists, like Meghan Trainor and 5 Seconds of Summer. And some of these people, I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, this is so cool. This is happening right now. But I think what really inspired this whole Align project and this whole thing I'm doing is because of the roller coasterness of that whole chapter. I was like kind of losing my mind some of the time, and I didn't know how to like stay centered and grounded in it, because you're kind of like, I think it all happened really fast too, and I was thrown into all these situations that I wasn't like totally comfortable with, or like I didn't know what to do with myself. And so at some point I started like not really loving what I was doing, because my mental state was so like all over the place. So
why was
I
started, it all over the place. Like, were there, was it just like the pressure that you had to write so many songs in a certain amount of time? Like, I just only, I'm trying to understand it from, because I was in corporate marketing and like I know the pressure that existed there, but I'm wondering for you, like, what was that pressure like on your end?
Yeah, I think it's the pressure to, because you're pretty much put into a session with random people like 5 times a week and you just like sit in a room with a couple people you've never met before, and you have to like write a song together. And I think me just being kind of like introverted in my nature, and like, I like to be, have like really close relationships with people. It was really like taxing on my natural energy to be thrown into something and to have to like perform on the spot and come up with something and then it be judged right away. And some of the times it worked out and that was great, but I was just like, I would love to feel amazing during this process and not feel so like thrown around in it. So I think that's when I started exploring yoga, mindfulness, just started opening my mind to this world of like, how can I feel really good in my life? And that became my priority. And that led me to making my own album and project. And so I'm kind of living a life that's focused on this and doing the other stuff too, but in my own way that still feels really good and aligned. Does that make sense?
That's so cool. Yeah, that makes total sense. Personally, I'm wondering a couple of things. Did you ever feel as a songwriter creatively stifled because you were told what to write about, or did you thrive in those moments of writing? And do you think that, and I guess, how did that change your writing style?
I think sometimes like a couple boxes are good for the creative flow. Like, cause if I'm with a specific artist and I know they want to write about a specific thing, sometimes that's good because it channels, it gives a little bit of box for it. But other times, yeah, it's like not something, if you're not connecting with the artist or the specific project, it's really hard to find something in it. I think some things that I was feeling that were really important for me that I wanted to express, like I wasn't finding an outlet for it in that system of, you know what I mean? Because I mean, for me, like I've always been so passionate about like living an amazing life and feeling good and finding your truth. And I was having trouble like expressing those kind of subjects in that situation, I guess. Yeah.
That makes total sense. Okay. So Renee, we've read about your quarter life crisis at 25 that changed your career and your music. So tell us about that period of time and why it was so important in shaping who you are today and the music that you're creating today.
So this ties into a little bit what we were just talking about, the kind of roller coaster time period. At one point it did come to a point where I was like, this is too much. Like something's really missing in me. I'm not feeling fulfilled. I think it was kind of like a realization too, where it's like our culture kind of tells us like once you're at some kind of status and working with celebrities and this whole thing, like that's where happiness comes from. And I hit like a realization, like, shit, that's not the whole picture. Like, okay, I'm here and I'm really not feeling good. So like what's happening? And so I guess I kind of call it my quarter life crisis period, because I was around 25, I'm 28 now. And it was just a point where I was like, what do I do now? What do I do with my life? Like, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to feel like this. And I think the first step in this direction of what I'm doing now was this book kind of fell into my lap by Eckhart Tolle called The Power of Now. I don't know if you guys have read that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, I never had thought the way the whole book is about learning how to really be in the present moment. And it's one of those books that I'll read every once in a while and get something new from it every time. And that whole concept of being present started transforming so much for me. I just was having all these aha moments and realizations while I was reading it, and like feeling my body and feeling presence for the first time in a while, because I think I was just so in my head a lot of the time. And I think just because it was such a drastic feeling for me, I was like pulled towards it. Like, I want to do something with this. I want to feel it more. And it has something to do with my life, and I don't know what it is. And I think a couple months later, I ended up going to a silent meditation retreat, and it was like totally on a whim. It was on a week where I was feeling super stressed out, and I was like, I need to go somewhere. And I just Googled best yoga retreats USA or something like that. And this one came up, and it was at Spirit Rock Center in Northern California. And it just said 7-day all women's silent retreat. And I was like, I don't even know what that means, but it starts tomorrow. It was like actually starting the next day. And I called them and I said, do you have any more openings? And they're like, actually, someone just called and canceled, so there's one spot left. And so I took that as like, okay, I have to go. This just feels wild and right at the same time. And so I went, and I spent 6 days in silence, and it was like the weirdest, most transformative experience ever to like sit there in nature with 100 women and like not talk for a week. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced anything like that.
No.
Small snippets of that.
Yeah.
Like, I just got back from Kripalu, and Carly's been there too. They have silent breakfast in the morning, and then going through yoga teacher training, we had certain days that are time periods that would be silent. And we've both heard of Vipassana, where you go for 10-day silent meditation retreats. And I have to say, I think it definitely scares me to think about being in silence. And were you allowed to read or write on your retreat? Because I know when you go to traditional Vipassana, you can't do anything.
Yeah. It was like a not as intense version as the Vipassana retreat. You're allowed to write. They had a station for art therapy too. So they had these like mandalas and like blank mandalas and watercolors and markers and stuff. So they encouraged you to actually express during the time, but just not with speaking and talking to each other. So I really liked that. I thought that was a beautiful way to just kind of interpret what was going on without having that pressure to talk to each other. And there, it was structured, so you weren't just like left like, what the heck do I do? It was like at 7 a.m., there'll be a guided meditation. They would guide us with speech. And so it didn't really feel that scary. It was actually kind of, for me at the time, it was what I wanted. It was like very calming. But I think you have to just have a weird tug towards something like that to want to do it. I wouldn't like force anyone or like be like, you have to go to this.
Yeah. Oh man, I resonate so much with your story, because I too feel like I went through a quarter life crisis at 25, totally felt, and I'm sure so many of our listeners and so many people can relate to. I'm also 28. So as so many things that you were saying just pinged mm-hmm. in my heart. I'm like, I totally feel you and walking that path and trying to discover yourself. And it's
wow, yeah, really,
it's a long journey, but
that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
But let's talk about your project Align. If you could sort of tell us what it is, tell us about the mission of it, and where did the idea for this project come about? Was it born during this awakening? where did it come from?
Okay, yeah. So Align is kind of the first album that's arisen from this new awakened journey of me and my first kind of artist album. And I was inspired to make it a concept album based on the seven chakras. So kind of using the framework of the chakra symbolism, I wrote a song that corresponds with each of the chakras to kind of reflect my own journey through each of my own chakras. And I've also heard that chakras have a certain key, like a note that resonates with each one. So we experimented with that and made each of the songs in the key of each of the chakras. So it's kind of a whole body experience for listeners and for us and for aligning with yourself. And so I just am so inspired by the whole thing. I just love it. I think concept albums are really cool. And I guess it came about New Year's Eve on, I don't know how many years ago. It was a little bit after that meditation retreat. I was on like a whole like, oh my God, meditation's fun kind of kick. And so I was talking to my husband. I was like, let's do something really different for New Year's Eve this year. Let's like go to Sedona, Arizona and see what's happening there. And so we actually like went to this meditation class on New Year's Eve, and like the ball dropped when we were all like sitting in a meditation room with each other. And this lady was playing the harp. She was doing like a chakra. That was the first time I realized that like about chakras and how they're connected with music and sound. So she was like going up and down the chakras with her harp. And that's kind of how we brought in the new year. And so I just had this kind of light bulb moment after that. I was like, oh my God, we should make a pop album out of this, because there's a lot of new age kind of albums and meditation music out there for chakras, but I'm a pop music fan and writer. And I'm just like, I feel like there's a gap and there's a need to connect these worlds. Cause I just intuitively feel it's where everyone's going and wanting. So let's make it. And that was really inspiring to me to fill that gap.
I think you're so spot on about that gap, and it really makes so much sense. Carly and I love pop music, and we also love spirituality, and you're right. It's like you have the Krishna Das of the world, like chanting mm-hmm. and kirtan and like Diva Pramal, and then there's really nothing that you would normally listen to as you're like driving in your car that links the two together. So I think you found like a really special pocket that can really be capitalized on. But I want to know more about A, how long have you been working on this project? And B, walk us through the writing process. We've looked over the titles and listened to most of the tracks, Carly and I. So walk us through how long it took you and kind of how you went about it. I know how Carly and I go about our own projects, but I'm interested to hear how you go about creating an entire album, this concept album, as you call it, and what that looks like behind the scenes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think when I went into from that time at the New Year's moment, I think I made an intention to just like let this whole thing unfold as quickly as I'm unfolding. If that makes sense. Like, I didn't want to be like, okay, now I'm an artist and we're going to make this right now. Cause I was still doing some of the old job and writing for other stuff. And I was just like, I just want this to unfold organically. So I think it took a little longer than it would be if like for the next album that I make, I think will take like not that long, but I think probably stretched out over like a year and a half or so of creating all of the stuff, just cause I would let it come as it came. But I think a couple a couple of the songs I had actually written, not like maybe before that time, like in those writing sessions. And there were a couple songs that like I, had written and no artist had cut it, but I loved the song and it was just kind of sitting there. And it actually happened to be in the chakra key. So it was kind of like, okay, like the song Tightrope I have for the solar plexus chakra. I wrote that in a session before as like a pitch song for someone else. But then when I was looking at my chakra idea, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to need a song about confidence. And oh, wait, there's that one song, Tightrope, that I wrote. And oh my God, it's actually in the key of E already. So that's it. So we're going to use that one. So some of it happened like that. And then other ones were, okay, I want to write a song about intuition for the third eye chakra. So we want the key of A. This is actually the song that's coming out next month. Key of A. So we kind of just made a track in the studio in the key of A, and I started writing over it. And that's how we made that. So, and the whole album is really just been me and my husband. So I've worked with a lot of people in my career, and I'm like so happy to have found my husband, who I met at the beginning of my entire journey when I was 18, like before we even moved to California. And he's a producer, writer too. So he's a composer for mostly TV and film. And we've worked together in the past, but like we've never worked together so closely now that we're doing this project together. And we just have such like a magical relationship together in real life that I feel like we're putting that into the music and this venture that we're doing together. And I just love it.
Yeah. That is so awesome that you're able to share that with him and to grow with him in that way. And
we just like truly have unconditional love for each other. And I just think that's exactly what this whole project is like sharing what that feels like with people and spreading the unconditional love feeling. So that's why that's something that really excites me about all of this.
Well, Lord knows the world, that is what we need right now. That's what the world needs right now. And to hear somebody who is bringing that out through music, which is a medium that is so powerful, is really, really inspiring. And I know when I was reading up on you. Yeah, you're welcome. When I was reading up on you, I kept seeing this term conscious pop star, conscious pop artist, which I think is an incredibly cool term and also sort of a trailblazing term that you don't hear. I've never heard it before. I was like, damn, that sounds awesome.
Never heard it either.
Well, I just want to know, what does it mean to you to walk with a title like that? And as you transition into really what it sounds like is your true self, what do you hope that listeners get out of your music? You've talked about unconditional love, but is there more of a mission behind the work?
Yeah. Well, conscious pop music, I guess to me, that just means I'm on a journey of consciousness within myself, and I'm sharing that story through music. And I'm hoping people can feel that and connect with that and find consciousness within themselves. I guess the ultimate thing for me is like, we're all looking for freedom and like freedom and love within ourselves. And so however I can help people feel that and navigate that feeling within themselves is kind of the mission. We're all looking for that inner harmony, peace, freedom, aren't we? I think.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely are. And I just want to backtrack really quick to what you said about this project, this album being born out of unconditional love. And I think Carly and I can so resonate, because when no one tells you to create something and your ideas literally come out of thin air, and then you actually act upon those ideas and you put so much time and effort and attention and focus into something that you know is going to impact and create change for people, like that is unconditional love as far as being a creative person. And like Carly and I with this podcast, and we're creating this book club, like no one has paid us to do this. And similar to you, no one's paid you yet, right? For the album, or is that how that works?
A little bit.
But it's not like a book advance, right? Like how you get a big chunk of money. Okay.
No, so I know what you mean. We're doing startups based from love.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like you have this idea and you're so connected to it and you feel this urge, this calling to produce it to the best of your ability to help create change and offer something that's not currently in the market. And so I so resonate with your story because that's exactly what we're doing here at Truth and Dare. We saw a void and we wanted to fill it with our own personal gifts and what we know and who we are. And I'm just really happy to see it in a different medium like music. So
That's so powerful. It's so cool.
Well, it's so cool that we have the ability to do it in this day and age, you know. Rewind a decade ago before social media became so powerful, it was very selective who could be an artist and who could have a YouTube channel and who could do all these things because it was a lot of money to produce it, to edit it, to market it. And now it's
so true.
It's so available to so many of us. Like if you have the desire and you have the work ethic, you can make, you know, your dreams really unfold. So
That actually reminds me, like, another big part of this whole process now, as this is all unfolding, is I'm realizing I'm totally untangling myself from the conditions of the old music industry, too, which is a huge thing for me since I was in it, in that model of what the music industry is for so long. And stepping out of it to do this, it's kind of like the new music industry is a totally different mindset. And like, it's kind of free because you're making it up, but it's also like I'm coming up with all these different ideas, like in addition with having this, the music and performing it, like now I'm designing a course too and a songwriting healing kind of service. So I'm just like bringing all these things that have to do with this unconditional love movement and putting it all together. And I think it's so cool and liberating because at the beginning I was toying with like, okay, well I could go with this label. Like these people want to help and I could do this on my own. And it just feels right to keep doing this on my own and forging a path in the new music industry, I guess, because the stuff I'm doing doesn't really fit the mold of the old structure. So I'm just going with it every day and just seeing what happens. But it feels really good on a deep level to be doing that.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's like we have to make it ourselves, you know? If it's not available to us, then we have to go and get it. And that is so much what Ali and I are preaching here all the time about living our truth. It's like, somebody else will if we don't. And that's not supposed to be in an intimidating way. I think it's supposed to be in an inspiring way. And we can live the life of our dreams. Yeah. We just have to take the action to do it. So I'm that's super so inspired true. By your story. And I think it's really powerful.
Thank you.
Talking about a line, do you have a favorite song on the album?
You know, it changes all the time. I think because they're dealing with all different, I guess what I love about the whole thing is like each song represents a part of my true self, like in my story involving that part. And so whatever mood I'm in for the day or whatever I'm going through, the songs help me and speak to me to all the different aspects. If I'm feeling a little unconfident or losing that sense, I can play that song and remember again. And if I want to feel a little more grounded one day, I'll play the Root Chakra song Wild, and it will just connect me more to the earth and to my surroundings. So I really, it's based on my mood, but that's what I love about it, that it's encompasses the whole part of me.
Yeah, I can totally relate with you because as a yoga teacher, and I've read, I don't know if you've read Anna Day Judith's books on the chakra system, but they are wildly intelligent and revealing. And I mean, they are like honkers. They're like 500 page volume like books.
Oh, wow. I haven't.
But she's pretty much the person who she's been working with them for 42 years and marrying the chakra system with therapy. And she's just so brilliant. So I definitely recommend them. But I totally resonate with you on how each moment of our lives connects to a different part within the energetic system, right? And like what's being triggered and what's not being triggered. Mm-hmm. So, and I know it ebbs and flows, but personally for you, do you feel most connected to one center? Like you really operate from a space of balance and alignment? And also, do you have a certain chakra that's out of alignment and blocked? The listeners here, if you listen weekly, you definitely know which one is blocked for me or which ones. But I think all of us have a little bit of misalignment, but I think we also have some strengths, right? And which ones do you resonate with within you?
I think heart chakra has always been the most open for me. It's always it's experienced the least amount of resistance for whatever reason. It's stayed open. It's always been really easy for me to love other people. And, I mean, loving myself was a little harder, but I've found that space too. And I feel like I'm consistently flowing in heart chakra area. And with resistant areas, I think root chakra seems to be the one for me. I think my tendency, I'm a Gemini. I'm like very airy. I can think way too much. So my daily practice is always about grounding. It's always about present moment, basic, not identifying with thinking, just present moment awareness in my body, throughout my body, ground. So that's my tendency and practice is to keep loosening and soothing this root chakra, connecting with the deeper lower half of my body, really.
Yeah. For me over here, I can just repeat it again. But and also what I learned so much from this therapy training workshop I just went to, but mostly it's my Svadhisthana, so my sacral chakra. And then my anahata, so my heart chakra, are deficient. And then as a byproduct or as a result, I have my Manipura, my third, and my Vishuddha, my fifth, are like in excess to kind of make up for the deficiency going on in the second and the fourth. So it's so interesting to study yourself. And I'm sure you did a lot of that writing this album. I mean –
totally.
How has it helped change you and transform you throughout the process? As a person, as an artist, as a wife, as a friend, you know, what has this writing and publishing and producing process done for you?
That's a beautiful question. I guess I really kind of, I see everything in vibration. Like I kind of look at my whole self as, this is kind of a new part of my paradigm, but I see my whole self as more vibration than like, I'm a solid body human, whatever. And with that, it's kind of like, I see everything as either I'm in a state of freedom or resistance in different subjects throughout my body, whatever. And I think with this whole project, I have freed myself up so much in all areas. Like, I just feel so free. I think that's like the main word of the last couple months and year. It just kind of deepens as time goes on. Like, I just have so much more deep joy for like moments that are going on. And I can like, I don't want to explain it, but I can like feel my whole body now. Like I'm walking around life with my entire body. Instead of before, I was almost like walking around life in this mental space that's not real, but something has happened where I'm like really embodying every step and movement. And it's really joyful. It's really like fulfilling to live that way. And I just think it's beautiful. So I just, that's my telling sign to just keep going with this, because it just feels too good to not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to call that life in HD.
Yes. I love it.
I know that feeling too.
Yeah.
Clearly it's been a profound journey for you. Yeah. And I'm curious, how have audiences been? How has the response been to the music? Have you felt like, just because it's so new and different, I mean, I know that there is this need for right. what you're doing. And I mean, it's right. the same thing that Ali and I are doing. We feel the call, but of course, we're met with resistance all the time. I mean, we're met with resistance from our closest friends on a mm-hmm. regular basis. So I'm curious, how has the reception been to the music? Is there anything that surprised you?
It's been really
different than you thought. Yeah.
It's been really interesting. It's kind of like people have come out of the, like for the people that were already in my life, people that I thought would really resonate and love this. Like there's a couple people that just like don't get it. And that was like jarring for me at first. That was actually like kind of devastating for me at first. Cause I'm just like, how do you not get it? This is who I am, blah, blah, blah. But then other people in my life that like maybe I haven't even talked to in years have come out like, oh my God, this is my life. This is amazing. So I'm feeling like extremes, like extreme, total resonance and life changing. And like, I don't get it. I don't know if you guys get that same thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have our friends who are like totally on board and family yeah. members. And then we have our friends and family members who absolutely don't get it, like you just said. And then because they don't get it, it's a little bit of like hostility and confusion. And mm-hmm. I don't
know. From them or from you?
I think on both sides, like for them, like, why are you wasting your time doing it? None of this makes mm-hmm. sense. What are you talking about? And for us, like, how do you not understand what we're saying? Like, where right. are we not meeting in the middle? And so, yeah, we felt the same way. Do you like help those people that you were kind of jarred by, like walk them through it? Or are you just kind of like, okay, that's your thought process. I have to keep doing me.
You know what? It was like, honestly, it was kind of devastating at the beginning when some of, like when I was getting a couple of those responses of, I don't get it. But actually, even since we're talking about chakras, I like right when that started happening, when a couple people, I wasn't feeling like the support that I wanted, I literally got a massive throat infection. I've never had a throat infection before. But it lasted for a month and a half, and it really threw me for a loop, because I'm like, okay, I'm trying to be like a singer and an artist right now, and my throat just fucked on me. Like, it just went out. I had a staph infection in my throat. Like, where did this come from? And looking back on it now, like, it was really confusing at the time. But looking back, like, it totally has to do with the subject of like putting so much need for other people to like what I'm doing. And I think that was a really big lesson. And it started to clear up the more I really started to get that like, it's a part of this unconditional lifestyle to really not put all of my like approval in other people, even though it feels so good for people to resonate. It's kind of like, I just have to keep walking forward and let the people that need it come join me mm-hmm. and not put all the emphasis in talking to everybody and changing everybody, because that's not what it's about. So
yeah,
it's something I'm still working on, but it's definitely been, I know you guys can relate and understand what I'm saying, but that's totally. That's how I'm dealing with it. It's like, don't worry about changing them and just continue with the feeling, just keep going with the feeling of what feels good. And that's all I can do.
Absolutely. And it's, first of all, we feel you 100%, and it's yeah. so hard and challenging as we walk this path, because so many things change and so many things open up. But we're still us, and there's still all of these pieces that we hold on to, like that acceptance, yeah. like that need to please. And there's all of these bits of our, I don't even want to call it our old selves, but we carry these traits with us. And I think we just adapt to them in a different way as we grow. But it can be really, really hard. And I think you're right. It's about letting the people come to you that hear you, the people that resonate with you. And if people don't, there's somebody out there for them that they resonate with. Yeah. And that's not our job. But speaking on the topic of resonating, I want to know, what are there any singers and songwriters that I'm sure there's a lot that inspire you. So maybe the ones that inspire you most, and not in conscious music, or perhaps is there anybody in the world that you're breaking into that inspired you too?
Yeah, there's so many people. I think this whole chapter has been a mixture of inspiration from musicians and people in the self-help world, you know, mm-hmm. like self-help speakers and spiritual gurus or whatever. Music-wise, Michael Jackson, there's something about him, there's a frequency in him and how he did everything that, like, I wasn't even really into Michael Jackson before. I never really listened to him until maybe like a year ago, and such a massive connection. I think so much of his music was about spreading that unconditional love. And like, I haven't heard many people doing that much. Like, I have a song called Ripples, which is really speaking to the crown chakra and about realizing your connectedness to all things, the we are one kind of thing. And Michael had a lot of songs like that too, like We Are the World and Heal the World. And I find so much inspiration in that, to know he was such a massive influence with some of these messages too. So that's huge for me. And then on the other side is like Oprah. I love Oprah so much.
So do we.
Super Soul Sunday, Oprah. We got Eckhart Tolle, Michael Beckwith. I don't know if you know him. There's a church down the street called Agape. It's like the coolest church ever because it welcomes all religions. It's kind of just like a high vibe Sunday celebration where everyone sings, and he's the speaker there, and he's been on Oprah, so I'm really into him too. So I'm just drawn to anyone that makes me feel more alive and empowered in this direction. So
us too. Yeah. And Carly and I sometimes, usually we're pretty aligned in who we're following, but oftentimes we each have our own gurus that we're really deeply connected to. And they're so important because they're like that guiding light and that lamppost in the dark that helps steer the path, you know? And I totally resonate that these self-help people really helped shape and mold me. And similar to you and Carly, I had a midlife crisis too. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing in a cubicle? I cannot be here any longer. And I really credit the yoga world and all the self-help books I've read and self-help podcasts I've listened to shaping and molding me into who I am today. So thank you for sharing. And tell us, if you can, what future projects do you have in the works? I'm sure you're like, you got one more song coming out on the album. Mm-hmm. But I know once inspiration is cracked open, usually the ideas are kind of nonstop, at least for Carly and I. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming how many ideas you can have. So what do you have in the works, and where do you see yourself going in the next year or two with your music?
You're totally right about it's just cracked open. I have too many ideas. But so one more song from the album, so all seven will kind of be out, and then in January we have a lot of fun stuff planned to be happening. So there's also seven meditation tracks this is like part two of this album, Align. So there's like a deluxe album where there's actually 7 meditation tracks for each of the songs. So January is when we kind of release the entire album and physical versions of it, so people can have it. And so that, coupled with some like merchandise things that we have lined up with download cards and a course that I'm working on right now, like an Align online course. So the whole push in January is kind of like, so this, the release of these songs is kind of like my story with my own awakening. And now I've got these products and things for you, for you to reflect, for you to meditate, for you to awaken to the consciousness within you. So it's the meditation tracks and the course and the prompts and the, the energy direction of helping listeners with their own awakening. So that's like really exciting for me to have that going. And that's all unfolding right now. And I just made a decision to bring someone on board with, for our team. Cause right now it's been just me and Matt, like the whole time up until a couple weeks ago, I brought on this girl. It just came out of nowhere. Like it's one of those things like on a path where you're like, what the hell am I doing? If you just like sit and trust, like the people will come, like this perfect person just came. And now she's like working with me every day to help carry out some of these ideas. So it's like, it feels really cool. Things are just like lining up.
That is so cool. I can't wait to hear your meditation tracks. That is really exciting. I mean, everything you're working on is really exciting, but to me, that was like, ooh, I want to listen to those.
That's cool. And I would hope like if people could do yoga to them, you can do whatever you want to them. I feel like that's a necessary part of this. And then like further performing is another thing that is a real part of like my true self expression that I didn't tap into before. Like I've performed in the past, but like in the whole phase of working in the industry and being a songwriter, I really kind of closed off to that. And I think it was like a lot of fear too, because it's like I'm in Hollywood with all these like star performers and stuff. Like I'm not a performer. So that's another part of my unfolding awakening right now, is like stepping into like, I actually love performing and I love acting and this whole idea of performing these songs. So I've started with Facebook Lives. So we've done a couple like acoustic ones just on piano, but we're going to start a monthly one starting this Saturday. We're doing like a in studio, like full production, like kind of like a little Facebook Live concert. So that's unfolding too.
That is so cool. We're going to have to check that out. Definitely.
Yeah. If you want to follow on my, Instagram and Facebook, will post like when those are happening. And a couple like smaller things around Venice too are happening pretty soon. So just
awesome.
Kind of have definitely everything in the works at once.
Wow, that's how it goes, right? When it rains, it pours, and then you can't stop it. But we'll definitely link to all of everything that you have coming up and everything that you have going on in our show notes, because I'm sure all of our listeners are going to want to listen to you and watch you too. I was going to ask you how you plan to continue to live your truth and dare to change, but I feel like you already answered that, unless there's,
she's got anything, it covered.
If there's anything else that you can think of as you move forward into this new realm and you continue to explore this part of you and explore this music.
I like that play on, I love the whole title of your podcast. That's really cool. So say it again. How do I plan to live my truth and step dare into the dare of it? I guess continue to take it one breath and step at a time. That seems to be the best route for me.
Well said. And Carly, you know, I'm thinking as we're asking Renee, me and you need to practice answering this question. Like we pawn it off on everyone else.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you, what would you answer?
Oh, that's a good one. But my truth dare to change. I would say for me, I'm just trying to continue to step into my mindfulness and to stay on my track, because I get derailed and distracted. Like, I'm always falling off the horse, this like invisible horse that I talk about all the time, and getting back on. And I know that my truth is when I'm on. And I just want to continue staying on the path, like, instead of dipping a toe in when I know my whole foot could be in. Mm. I'm just going to keep giving metaphors, but that's just how I know that that's where my truth lies. So I think trying to stay there. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Keep navigating with metaphors. Metaphors are very powerful.
Mm-hmm. I feel like
you're a songwriter.
So. Yeah.
Personally, I think Carly's like sidelining the question a little bit, but I love you. She's like, I'm going to keep giving you metaphors.
No, I mean, I'm really not.
I know you're invisible horse. I'm friends with it. It's true. So for me, living my truth, I think looks like continuing. I always use the word that I'm looking for a connection. And I think it makes so much sense to me now, because I have a really hard time with intimacy and feeling free and really operating from my heart chakra space. So I think living my truth is following that calling to connect. And I think daring to change is actually doing the work to connect with my partner, with Carly, my business bestie, with myself, with the communities we're building, with my family. And I know the tools and I know how to do it. It's just daring to actually do it. So that's
That's the horse, Allie. That's the horse.
That's the horse. You're right. You're right. We need to name the horse. But anyway, Renee, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us your story and a line and how you've transitioned from one land into this new unconditional, authentic land of being you. And like Carly said, we will definitely link to all of your information in the show notes so that everyone can find you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. That was really fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was so nice to talk to you. All right, tribe. Thanks so much for tuning into another uplifting conversation. We hope Renee's story opened your eyes to the power of healing through music, the possibilities that occur when we align with our true selves, the importance of exploring our own spirituality, and the necessity of practicing mindfulness with ourselves and with others. Together and through music, we can raise the vibration of the planet. How cool is that? Remember, for today's show notes, you can head over to truthanddaremovement.com to find all things Renee related. Thank you so much for being here and for showing up with us every single week. It means the world to us. We'll catch you next Wednesday. Bye.